Hi, I'm Brittany Pacheco.
Hi, and I'm Straight Lestat.
And we are the Watchers in the Basement, bringing you, for the first time in a very, very long time, Frank, a show run by the both of us.
So, yes, that's indeed, exciting. Man. I'm excited.
It's very exciting because today we are talking about the season two premiere of Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire, which is shown on AMC or AMC Plus if y'all have the app. Now, be forewarned, people, we're gonna dive into this episode because we've been waiting a very long time for season two to come out. So this is your warning, y'all. Spoilers. Spoilers ahead. We're going to be talking about some things that happen in this episode, of course. So if y'all are into spoilers, cool, stick around. If not, cool, stick around. just kidding. But I'm going to give y'all some facts real quick about Interview with the Vampire and particularly season two, because Frank, there were some changes in season two, a pretty big change in casting. So let's talk about that real fast. The release date of season two was May 12th of 2024. I believe it is an 8-episode run for season two. And I just have to throw this in there that Anne Rice did serve as an executive producer until her death in 2021. Now, Frank, our boy Grey Worm is back as none other than Louis de Poindulac. Jacob Anderson is the actor, y'all. Sam Reed returns as Lestat de Leoncourt. Eric Bogosian, that's a hard last name to say, y'all. Bogosian, I had to like Google that, how to say his name properly, returns as Daniel Malloy. We have a new addition, Delaney Hales, I think that's how you pronounce her last name, who is playing Claudia. And once again, we have Asad Zaman as Armand, not Rashid. Armand. So, Frank, let's first talk about the new casting of Claudia. What did you make of Delaney's debut in this show?
Well, we talked about a little bit earlier today off camera. It's kind of hard to see, as like after one episode, as far as a range. But I would say, like, going in and out of those acting, those language dialects was pretty amazing. Like, if I count correctly, I think I counted Romanian, German, and French. She spoke in this episode alone. Was it three languages?
I think it might have been two or three. For sure German, for sure Hungarian. I'm not quite sure if we got the French just yet. But I won't be surprised if we do get some French out of Miss Claudia, Miss Delaney. Yeah, I agree. She was very impressive with her ability to mimic these languages that are not easy languages to even attempt to mimic. I know like a couple of phrases here and there in German, no Romanian whatsoever. Sebastian Stan, please give us a call to teach us some Romanian. We would love that here. But yeah, she impressed me on that front, but I agree with you. It's kind of hard to want to say I'm in favor of her or not after just one episode. It's not really fair if, you know, we're being completely honest at this point. I'm very curious to see how her performance as Claudia will progress as the season progresses. But yeah, like I did find out, Frank, I think the reasons for Bailey's departure as the original Claudia from season one. And that was of no one's fault other than just poor scheduling, as this happens. She had actually had a role in James Cameron's Avatar, the second movie. And she, I believe, is going to appear in the next Avatar movie. So it's kind of hard to turn down James Cameron just to reprise your role as Claudia. So maybe this was the best choice for her career. We'll see.
No, I mean, hey, look, that's a win. If James Cameron calls you, Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, like these motherfuckers call you, you answer. So I'm not mad at that. I mean, but that speaks to the talent that she is. Like she killed season one, and I will say the new Claudia has very big shoes to fill because she kicked ass in season one. I'm gonna give her a shot. It seems like her and Jacob got good chemistry on from what it seems like on screen. So I'm gonna give it a shot. But so far, so good. I mean, I think we'll see as the season progresses, once they start interacting with more people and more vampires, as we saw in the season two trailer coming up. I will say this, she will have ample opportunity to wow us, because yeah. It looks like she's going to be a very central character in season two. I mean, I know halfway through season one is when the character debuted. So, but mm-hmm. she'll be in it from the get-go in season two. So she'll have nothing but opportunities to wow our socks off. So.
Couldn't agree more. And there definitely has to be a lot more story progression for Claudia, because the way that this season two premiere kicks off is Louis is reading from Claudia's diary, which is how season one more or less ended, with the big reveal about Rashid. No, he's actually Armand. He's not the servant. He's Louis's quote unquote greatest love of his life, you know, Lestat who? But, you know, there was a lot of big reveals at the end of season one, and obviously season two just picks up right where we left off, which is great. Great for continuity. We're hearing Louis read Claudia's words from their time when they left New Orleans. Now they're in World War II Europe, and times are tough. You talked about great chemistry between Jacob and Delaney, but what's interesting about that is that their characters are very at odds with one another. At least Claudia is very icy towards Louis, and walk us through why that is a thing.
Yeah, so towards the end of season one, Lestat and Claudia were very toxic towards each other. Like, Claudia saw that Lestat brought out the worst qualities in Louis, and she tried to tell Louis over and over again, like, hey, he's not good for us. But to be fair, Claudia's pretty toxic too. Like, I feel like Louis is caught in between two very toxic vampires who want Louis for themselves selfishly. And I think by the end of season one, you kind of saw that it was going to be either Claudia or Lestat. It wasn't going to be both walking out of there going to season two in one piece. And Claudia concocted a plan to rid of Lestat. Now, Lestat, of course, being the cunning vampire that he is, who's been around for centuries, he finds out. He turns one of his side chicks from a human to a vampire, because for some reason, in this incarnation of Interview with the Vampire, the one that makes you have a telepathic connection with. And for some reason, when Claudia was trying to tell Lou what was going on, Lestat couldn't figure out what Claudia was saying or thinking telepathically, but mm-hmm. she had a connection with Louis, yeah. And so what Lestat did, he created he made another vampire, and she was able to like read the telepathic energies between between Louis and Claudia, and that's how they hatched the plan and ruined the plan. But mm-hmm. Long story short, Louis and Claudia pretty much outsmarted Lestat and his lady vampire, and they were able to presumably kill him. We think, we don't know, but like how season one ends, they dump his body in like a garbage pile. Lawn field or whatever. And like we see that those rats and different animals in that landfill, and he was able to feed off animals from there, and like we think he survived. So that's the big hopefully big surprise going to season two. And now Claudia and Louis have now escaped New Orleans, and they've been in Eastern Europe for the better part of, I think it's about
4 to 5 years, because we have to kind of backtrack. Sorry, I'm trying to get comfortable right here. But we have to backtrack a little bit too with season one. It began in 1910, and we're seeing years obviously pass because of Louis and Lestat's relationship has grown. Obviously, you see the passing of Louis's mother, you see the aging that girls of Claudia's age, you know, they're aging, but she isn't, right? She was made at 14. And so she forever will look like a 14-year-old, even though her mind and maturity has grown to that of a woman. And so you're obviously time has passed. And now that we're in World War II, and we know this because one, we see Nazis. We see Nazis everywhere. There's mention of Herr Hitler and even Joseph Stalin, because the Soviets have also invaded Romania. So, you know, we know that we're in the World War II era. So, and it's crazy to think about that. One, because how much season one has given us so much story and really gone through like the years. And so we know that World War II in general, it's just like a really difficult time for people, and apparently vampires, okay? Because vampires got to feed, right? They got to feed, they drink blood. And while Louis has often tried to not murder people for blood, you know, he's kind of been like, quote unquote, a vegetarian, you know, trying to drink the blood of animals. Claudia doesn't share that same vision. And so she is ready to just like attack. You know, when we first see the opening, they're having to live like in really dark, secluded places. In this case, they're living underground, or they're sleeping underground, right? Emerge during the night, travel during the night, and kill whenever they can, right? She leaps onto this dying German soldier, throws the heart to Louis so he can feed. And Louis makes mention to a very icy Claudia that, you know, there's something in the blood. There's something in the blood that's impacting them. It's sadness, it's fear, it's whatever the emotions it is that these humans are feeling, it's in the blood, and it's therefore impacting the vampires. Louis makes a remark that he can't stay warm, you know, he just feels it. It's really interesting dynamic to see how much a human can impact a vampire, and then how a vampire can impact a human. Because we will see just that in Romania, right, with this woman that they encounter, right? Talk about how, I just lost my train of thought, sorry. Talk about how we meet this woman. You know, there's a lot of refugees in Romania, and there's talk about, there's some things that are out there in the forest that are not of your usual standard to be feared, like for you to be afraid of.
Yeah. So this woman that they come across, I believe she's Romanian. Mm-hmm. And they have a refugee camp not far from the forest that where they met. And her, I believe a fiance or boyfriend, they some people within the camp believe that there's something supernatural out there that's attacking people and killing people. And there's a scene where the soldiers are desecrating bodies, like they're literally shooting bodies in caskets. Mm-hmm. So it makes you believe that one, they're just mutilating people, or two, there's something going on with those bodies that they're trying to destroy before something happens, before they turn or whatever. They don't really give a clear idea what's going on, but later on in that scene, you see a misfigured, dangly looking vampire who is just feeding off like soldiers that this vampire he can find. And Claudia first comes, well, first they start off as a game, like with the kids. So the kids had this game, like, yeah, who furthest can go into the forest unharmed and comes back wins. Dumbest game ever in life. I don't know what will preside a child to play this game.
I mean, when you're in World War II Eastern Europe, I mean, kind of anything goes at this point. It's like, sure.
But even like during regular war, I'm not going to a forest where war is happening and bullets are flying to get the bragging rights of my comrades. I'm not doing that. But of course, Claudia being who Claudia is, supernatural being that she is, she takes that challenge. She goes into the forest and she sees soldiers just get attacked and get thrown all over the forest like a rag doll. And that's when she comes across the first vampire they've seen since America. And as she gets closer, this vampire is disfigured, like just dangly looking. And I don't think the vampire speaks any English or speaks any, doesn't speak period. Which means, and I'm not clear if the vampire was already like in his human life, like crippled or damaged, and when it got turned, it just it turned from his damaged form of a human down to a vampire. But
yeah,
he sees Claudia as a threat because he thinks that Claudia is gonna take his food away from him, and he attacks Claudia. He like pretty much gives him one shot, like, hey, back the fuck up, and
breaks her arm.
And when I see that, I'm like, okay, so vampires all alive in Eastern Europe, they're strong, but they're very different. What's going on? What's going on with this hybrid, with this version of vampire? And what I think what really interests me is that Claudia showed no fear. Mm-hmm. It was so much fascination of just seeing her own kind. Mm-hmm. And I think being made as the last vampire within the show incarnation, she just wants to know more people who look like her. Mm-hmm. And just a little bit before to the end, Louis says something that really caught my attention. Louis says, you and me and you, and if we don't come across any more vampires, you are enough. Mm-hmm. And I think he said that because he wanted Claudia to know, no matter what goes on, I know we're fighting right now, but you are mine, I'm yours. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to feel like you can't go to anybody else who don't look like us. I'll always be here for you. And I think Claudia going out there trying to find other people who look like her is more so a reflection of the not so firm ground that she is with her relationship with Louis right now. Mm-hmm. I think in her mind is like, if Louis leaves me, or if Louis is tired of me, where do I go next?
Right.
And I think that fear kind of came up in season one, where she sees Lestat as this evil being of like manipulation and temptation, and more so a narcissist. And okay, she sees that Lestat has a hold on Louis. And I think that fear of being squeezed out and left out in the cold is what's pushing her to find more people who look like her. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I fear, where that fear and that curiosity comes from, of finding more of our own kind.
It's very, very likely, because why else would someone travel to Eastern Europe, to the land of the old legends of vampires, you know, House Dracul and other infamous vampires from back in the day, right? And so with that, you know, this obsession of hers to find others like them, in her mind, like, we can't be the only vampires left in this world. And one thing I do want to point out before I move on, Frank, we talked about, or you mentioned about how Claudia and Louis have like this connection with telepathy, because the fact that he made her, he is able to communicate with her through just their thoughts and speak in that fashion. Lestat wasn't able to do so. However, when Claudia encounters this old world, well, I say old world, but not necessarily old world vampire, the one that's disfigured, she tries to speak to him in what we think is probably the native tongue, and he does not respond. But when she uses the telepathy to speak to him, he like jerks his head to face her. How is that possible if she did not make him? You see what I'm saying? So, because our understanding at least is, well, you have to make one in order to have that telepathic connection, right? So I think it's just kind of interesting how maybe that's just like a plot hole or something, or just like an oversight that was decided upon. Like, I don't see how that's even possible at all. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's the way I took it is that I think the show is going to introduce more versions of vampires. I think that's where the show's gonna go to, because even in passing, when is the writer named David? I can't remember the writer's name.
Oh, Daniel.
Daniel. Mm-hmm. So when Daniel's talking to Louis and Armand walks in the room, and Armand says something offhand like, "I'm an old vampire. I don't need to feed as much." Yeah. And it was like, I've never really heard that in this world of vampires, where the older you are, the less you have to feed. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a sign of like the show saying, hey, this is one ability of a vampire who is eons old. We're going to get into more of different types of vampires and what they can do, what they can't do. I know some can fly, and some are you know, are infinite stronger because they've been around so long. Some don't need, some don't need his feet as much, which caught my attention because, like, Lestat fed a lot. like he was, he's old. So I wonder how much older Amon is than Lestat. And I mean, I know he's one of the oldest vampires on the planet, but for that really caught my attention to see what other vampires are out there, what other abilities they have. Because even with that vampire in Romania or Eastern Europe, he didn't speak in the languages that Claudio was trying to talk to him to, but he also had telepathy. So maybe it's something in the blood, or maybe it's something like where you're made. Maybe something you're taught. I know with Louis was trained on telepathy with Lestat in season one. So maybe he always had it, but didn't know how to, that vampire didn't know how to hone it, or wasn't trained properly on it. So,
I don't know. It just seems interesting because with Louis and Lestat, it makes sense because of the fact that Lestat made Louis. That's why the telepathy link exists, just as between Claudia and Louis. It exists because he made her. Claudia didn't make this vampire. So it's very interesting that happened. However, the driving point is the fact that he, however disfigured he may be, is like Claudia, and she's thrilled. She's thrilled that she's found, you know, someone who's also like her. She runs to Louis to tell him about this, and Louis's like, you know, vampires don't exist. My dude, what? Like, I'm sorry. What are you again? What are you? What do you do? You're not human.
Like, was that him trying to dissuade her from looking for other vampires?
I think so, because that was the whole reason that they've ventured off into Eastern Europe and have been, you know, basically voyaging for the last 5 years. And I have to just mention this one line from Daniel Malloy's character, played by Eric Bogosian, how he basically said that for the last, 8 hours, it's been on how to avoid the sun and torpedoes while cruising the Mediterranean war theater, and 2 hours and counting on chasing old war vamps who never materialize. Like, he had some lines in this episode, bars, which I thought was bars. Exactly. Just so, so funny. But for Louis to say that to Claudia, like basically saying, hey, vampires don't exist. You kind of are one, dude. Like how, and then he tries to say maybe it was a baboon. They have fangs. What? What is wrong with you?
I don't know what that was. I gotta ask this question. I asked you this off camera as well.
Yeah.
Why of all places on this planet, on this globe, why are you going back to Europe to find vampires, knowing that one of the greatest vampires in probably the last 300 years has rank and pull all throughout Europe, named Lestat. Presumably murder Lestat. Y'all go back to like his home continent. Like he, like something tells me like Lestat name reigns all across Europe. Like he is that dude. He's respect. Like, even the books that I read, he's vehemently respected across all. He's vehemently respected and or feared.
Yeah,
you murdered him in cold blood. And you're going back to this continent to look for other vampires. The chances of these vampires knowing who Lestat is high, because he's from Europe. Yes. Like you think about going to Australia, Africa, South America. Like you had to go to Europe, bruh. Really?
I see your point, but to that I will say it makes sense because the lore begins in Eastern Europe, just like I had said with House Dracul and such. You know, that's if you're going to try and find vampires of any kind, you're going to go to the source, and the source lies in Romania. Or
close to home, though, man.
I understand. I do not disagree.
You're done. You're donezo. I think it's a crime against vampires committing crimes on other vampires is a crime. Like you will die for this.
Oh yeah.
You will get burned alive, bruh.
wait until the rest of season two. Anyway, we're not going to jump ahead because we're just not. Let's return to the ongoings between Claudia and Louis. While they're searching for food, if you will, even long before they encounter this disfigured vampire. You mentioned, of course, how Louis, quote, killed his love, you know, Lestat, right? His paramour. Well, that remains to be seen because of the ending of season one finale. And I will confidently say this obviously is not going to be the last we see of Lestat in some sort of variation of him, right? Because Louis sees Lestat on the ground in Eastern Europe the way that he murdered him, right? But of course it's most likely a figment of Louis's imagination, right? He is having ghost Lestat visit him, mess with his mind. He's talking to him, he's, you know, trying to tell him to go away basically, and Lestat's like, no, like, you know, I am here, and, you know, purgatory is hell basically, right? And it's interesting to see that we have Lestat visiting Louis and just kind of being like that whole, like, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? You know, he's tormenting Louis, right? In so many ways. So my question is, to you, Frank, do you think this is Louis's imagination? Or do you think Lestat could actually be visiting Louis from beyond the grave? Or does it even matter at all?
I think it's Louis's guilt eating him up. Because the reason I say that, because I went back and watched it again today. Mm-hmm. There are parts of that hallucination where Lestat is mimicking him and copying him to the point, like almost to a T. Mm-hmm. And I took that as his guilt eating him alive of what he did to his love. I didn't take that as Lestat like using some type of like power like to reach him. I think it's really his guilt of what mm-hmm. he did, and I think it's eating at him and not having that closure. And I think honestly, I don't know if he's alive or not. Like I know he left the door open a little mm-hmm. bit of like leaving put him in that area to where he can possibly survive and thrive off animal blood, but I think the guilt of doing what he did is what's eating at him. Now, could that manifest into schizophrenia? Could it manifest into, you know, multiple personality disorder? That remains to be seen. I think we will see how, as the season goes on, how much if Lestat comes back in that form over and over again, it could be schizophrenia, but which would be rare because you never hear vampires having mental illnesses, developing mental illnesses as when they're dead, technically. So that would be interesting.
And this is what I really like about this show. Now, granted, it's been a very long time since I've read Interview with a Vampire. Granted, there's multiple books and that it's a chronicle, right? It's Chronicles of Interview with a Vampire. What I really appreciate about this show is that they're pushing the envelope, right? They cast a Black man as a lead to be Louis. They cast a white man to be Lestat. And instead of subduing the homoerotic, you know, relationship between the two, like from the movie, you know, that starred Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise, this is very upfront. Like, this is so upfront. And I think the fact that the actors have really embraced like that aspect of these characters from the book versus just kind of like setting it off to the side, I think that has made the show so incredibly like amazing, in my opinion. But even pushing the envelope even further to suggest that a vampire could have a mental illness, you know, and it would make a lot of sense given how much trauma Louis has experienced in his own life, even before becoming a vampire. And then everything that happened between him and Lestat, like fucking Lestat dropped him from the sky. And I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that he's an immortal, Louis, he probably would have died. And not probably, he would have died. And then it's that endless back and forth. That, oh, I'm sorry. I love you. I'll never do it again. No, no, that's trauma, right? That's just complete trauma. So I really appreciate the idea that the showrunners are running with this like possibility of there are consequences to being in this sort of very toxic relationship. And yes, you did a bad thing. Yes, you probably killed the guy. But now, like what you're saying, he's guilt tripped by it and he can't rest or he can't let it go because of so much guilt that he's bottling up inside. And then not to mention, Claudia hates him. Claudia hates Louis for what has all happened. And she kind of has it out with him when she's sharing with him, hey, I found a vampire. And he's like dismissing it. She's like, no, like, so if she actually had a great line too, and I'm going to find it so I can read it out loud to y'all. Basically, she was like, so if he can't take you ballroom dancing or tell you you're pretty, to hell with him. Is that it? So in other words, if the vampire doesn't look and treat you like Lestat, vampires don't exist, right? I thought that was just a hell of a line for her to drive her point home. And
I thought that comment was very bratty too, because she's 14, right? I know she's
physically 14. She's 14, but she is a grown woman.
But that wasn't a grown woman response. That was a bratty comment, because to know what Louis been through. Louis was a, when you look at Louis, this incarnation of Louis in this story, mm-hmm. Louis is a pimp. He's a family man. He loves his family. He's a provider. He was in love at one point in time. The woman that he was in love with was a whore. Like, mm-hmm. so his idea of love can be in a lot of respects shattered. It could be a toxic version. It could be very broken. He comes from a broken household as far as like how he views emotional support, right? Yep. So and that was in his human life. Now transcend to his vampire life. You're in bed with one of the most toxic homicidal vampires walking in 1910, like in the 19th century. So you go from one extreme of like of being a human to this extreme of like narcissism, abuse, manipulation. That's all Louis knows. Like, mm-hmm. Louis doesn't know like the white picket fence and the kids and a loving wife who wants the best for you. Yeah. He doesn't come from that world. So, and I don't know how much he's divulged to Claudia over the last like 20 something years that they've been around each other. But mm-hmm. for her to, if she knew what Louis had been through and like all that, and you still say that shit, it's pretty fucking cold blooded, man. Because like, Louis has never known like just love in its purest form. The love that he's always seen has always been used against him. Whether it was mm-hmm. a prostitute, you know, making money off of him, and like living in this rich and glamour like whorehouse, and he has to share her with other clients, things of that nature. So now, he came from toxicity, and I think. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the show does a good job of he's carrying that to his vampire life. And I think what this breakdown he's having is just like the culmination of his human life and vampire life coming to a head and like saying, God damn, I'm worn the fuck out. I don't know what else to do with this. I don't know where else to put this. And mm-hmm. I think a part of him making Claudia was to be like, you know what? You can make the case that the love he has for Claudia is the purest form of love that he's ever had. You know what I'm saying? You can't legitimately make that case, which is kind of sad because Claudia's a homicidal maniac too. So it's kind of like, you know, it's really a sad ballad, man. It's almost Shakespearean when it mm-hmm. comes to Louis, you know, just wanting peace and love within his mate.
I definitely can see your points. I'm going to counter that with Claudia saying what she said to him, albeit it was probably bratty. But sometimes people, men, sometimes y'all just don't listen. And sometimes y'all want to learn things the hard way. And sometimes y'all just want to be so damn bullheaded that unless it's told to you straight without the sugar coat, y'all ain't gonna get it. And I say y'all, I mean, I did single out men because we're talking about a man in this particular scenario. This applies to all people. Okay. I'm equally bullheaded. And I just feel like for her, enough's enough. Like she makes it a point to say to him that he, Louis, has been carrying Lestat with him in here, in his heart, ever since, you know, the plan went sideways, right? And she's like, you know, I forgave you for what had happened. She goes, I forgave you for that, but I can't forgive you for still keeping him in here and him still tormenting you the way that he still torments you. And I like I said, I get your point. I do get your point.
What the fuck does she know? She's never been in love. Like what is she? She's 14 going on 30, who's never experienced, like that's his maker. He made him, you know what I'm saying? Like this.
But to that, right, Louis is her maker. The way that she loves him, albeit is not necessarily the same, you know, kind of love that Louis had with Lestat, but like she loves him enough to be like, this is bull. Like you can't keep doing this to yourself. I love you too much to let you keep doing this to yourself.
Yeah, but you're putting him in danger by, like, she put him in danger multiple times.
True.
She put him in danger of like, hey, let's kill one of the most powerful vampires in modern time, and then let's go to another continent where I read in a book that vampires of lore might be here, even though the vampire that we just murdered in cold blood might have peeps and family and comrades in this very, like she's as selfish and narcissistic too, just in a different form.
I didn't say she was perfect. I didn't. I mean, you said homicidal maniac. Like calls to like, okay? Like, you know, now Louis, all he may want to believe that he's not a homicidal maniac, and he probably isn't a maniac. There might be some other form of, you know, hallucinations happening, developing that he needs to sort out. But he continuously is going to be manipulated because that's just what he's accustomed to. And it's hard to break that cycle of manipulation. I'm going to put a pin in that manipulation because we're going to come back and talk about that in a little bit. But I want to continue talking about how the two finally do enter into the woods to try to trap this disfigured vampire by leaving bait, of course. What do? You leave a dying, screaming human with a gash wound in his leg to lure said vampire. And they try to, you know, take him down, if you will, or Claudia's still trying to reach out to say, hey, we're like you, you know, let's figure something out. And no, that vampire don't want anything to do with that. But then you get like this old lady who comes in shrieking because of the fact that Claudia was trying to get the disfigured vampire off of Louis, you know, because he was hurting Louis. She rips out old boy's eyes. Enter screaming crazy old lady who says in Romanian that he was a child. You took a child's eyes. Like, how is he going to be able to hunt after this? And so she does the unthinkable, in my personal opinion. She kills them. She kills them with a rock, right? And, you know, this episode kind of gave me like Game of Thrones vibes. Very dark episode, kind of difficult to see at points. But at this moment, I was kind of glad I couldn't see this beating of this vampire. Its head was being bashed in by a rock.
But I didn't know. Crazy. I didn't know that you can kill a vampire that way. I thought it had to be like a stick through the heart or drinking bad blood or the sun. I know that you can kill a vampire by
beheading it, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess maybe it's a form of beheading, I guess, if she...
Maybe she did.
Like that. Okay.
Maybe she did. We didn't get a chance to see it on camera. Again, I'm okay with that. But she does tell them in so many words, if you will, to like follow her. So they follow her to her manor. It looks like she's trying to like make more vampires, like more children, quote unquote. And we see that by one human who's lying on the table. She's forcing him to drink her blood while singing a Romanian lullaby, as one, you know, does when seducing a male. I don't know. Frank, has that ever happened to you? I'm just kidding.
I haven't turned yet. So I'm still in the process, but yeah.
Okay. There's still hope. Just kidding. But yeah, she is basically saying that this whole trying to turn humans into vampires is just not working anymore. And Louis pretty much says, hey, it's something in the blood. It's gone bad. It's just not working anymore. And the old vampire confirms basically she is one, if not the last old world vampire. And, you know, Claudia's like, hey, come with us. We're going to take you to America. That way you can get some new blood. You can, you know, get your strength back, you know, be good or what have you. And it seemed temporarily that maybe old world vamp was going to go with. Did you think she was going to oblige, or did you kind of see what was coming?
No, I didn't think she was going to go. I thought she was going to kill herself. I didn't think she was going to kill herself that way. I thought she was going to like stay and like die in the sunlight. I didn't see her going, because the way I took it was, this is her home. This is all she's known. She's known Eastern Europe, maybe 1,000 years, maybe 500 years. Like, this is, I don't see a vampire who's been there for that long, for centuries, upbringing their life. And like, yeah, I'll go to happy, good-go-lucky America and try to turn some new vampires and have a new vampire army. She looked tired. Like, you saw her face. Yeah. Look, she looked visibly tired of this shit. Like, just put me out of my fucking misery, please. That's what she looked like. She didn't look like she was ready. Even when Claudia mentioned that, she didn't look like excited about it. She was like, the look I had, the look I saw was, damn, bitch, I gotta start over. The fuck? Like, that's what it looked like to her. Like, she looked tired. Yeah.
I can see that for sure. Yeah, the way that old world vamp went out was really interesting. There's a fire, and she just kind of like initially agrees with Claudia and Louis that, you know, hey, I'll go with you. I'll tell you my story, you tell me yours. And then just like proceeds to throw herself into the fire. Like, what?
And then also too, I think it was a respect thing. Like, I think for her, because vampires can tell how old vampires are. So she's like, who the fuck this 30-year-old vampire and this 44-year-old vampire is going to tell me about life? Bitch, I'm 1,000 years old. Like, I'm not going to leave. I'm not gonna let these fucking babies lead me to a slaughter. I'm just taking myself out while I can. That's what I got from it. It's like a 7-year-old telling me, hey, there's salvation over here. Let's go over here. Like, no, I don't know. Like, you 7. Like, I don't know. You're a fucking kid. Why would I trust myself in you? Like, no, I'm good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally agree with it. Before we move on to talking about Daniel and in modern time, talking with Louis and Armand, Frank, I wanted to ask you real quick, with the woman that had befriended Louis and Claudia in Romania, brought them to the shelter, introduced them to her boyfriend, the British guy, whatever, he worked for the Herald. Who do you think was the one who attacked her in the woods? Do you think it was disfigured vampire, or do you think maybe it was old world vampire?
I thought it was old world vampire, because I thought maybe she wanted to turn her, and they got her body before she could get turned. Because like, typically with vampires, when they're hungry, they want to wipe you out. Those just suck you dry. I feel like whoever got to her left her alive long enough for her to turn.
Okay.
I think the human soldier just got to her, and once they saw the bite, they was like, oh, she's tainted. We gotta get rid of her at this point.
Yeah. That's actually good. I hadn't considered that. I just kind of assumed it was a disfigured vampire, you know, because he was just out in the woods and, you know, trying to take people down as quickly as he could. But that does make a lot more sense about old world vamp trying to turn humans into new vamps. And unfortunately, it didn't end well for the Romanian friend, because she ended up having to be beheaded in order to ensure that she wasn't going to turn, come after everyone. Crazy, not crazy entirely, but for Claudia and Louis to just kind of like watch her for a minute and see the pleading from the boyfriend, and then just like turn around and walk away without second guessing anything. Like, this is human. These are human issues. We've got other issues to deal with. And that was to go after the disfigured vamp.
Yeah. And I think too, Because Louis way more compassionate. He's probably the most compassionate vampire we'll ever see on this show. I think because there were so many humans around, they couldn't even save her if they wanted to, because they want to give up. They want to give
revealing
up
their cover.
Yeah. So yeah. I feel like, and you could tell with Louis kind of hesitated. Like he really didn't want to leave her, like, because she was so kind to them. She brought him into the refugee camp. Like, you could tell Louis had a soft heart for her. I mean, Claudia didn't give a fuck, but you could tell Louis did. And like,
yeah.
But again, it was just too many humans. Like, it was just, you have to murder everybody in the campsite just to save that girl. And I don't think it was worth it.
Definitely. I agree with that. Well, let's move on to talking about modern day Louis with Armand and none other than Danny Malloy, who is the journalist that has been interviewing these vampires for quite some time. Let's kind of place it here for everyone. In modern day time, the three are having this interview in Dubai. Armand, as we mentioned at the top of the show, is actually now not Rashid. He was pretending to be Rashid, who was the servant, but he is Louis's quote-unquote greatest love of his life, as Louis will put it, which I think Daniel calls bullshit. Basically, he said to Louis, hey, the greatest love of your life was murdered by you. You know, you killed Lestat. That was the greatest love of your life. What are your thoughts on that?
I will say this. Louis got a type. Louis loves powerful men. he has a type. If you're not at least 500 years old, he ain't fucking with you. Like, off yeah. top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that too. I mean we don't know how long Armand and Louis have been together, but Lestat, as imperfect and toxic as that was, Louis's first love. Like,
yeah.
Like that's his maker. They were together for a long time. He's still haunted by what he did. That tells me that, man, that was your bottom bitch. That was your vampire.
Yeah.
I think Armand, and I think we'll see more of this as the season, as the episodes come by in season two. I think Armand's jealous. I think Armand is jealous of like the memory of Lestat still being strong and Louis's heart, because for what we've seen of like Armand trying to give Louis memory lapses, he remembers every detail about Lestat. Like the Claudia shit might be kind of foggy with the pages missing in the diary. When it comes to Lestat, his main boo, his first boo, he remembers everything. And I don't know, and maybe Armand has tried to make him forget about Lestat, and maybe it's just too many memories there. Or maybe he wants to keep that part of Lestat inside of Louis. I don't know, but like it looks like to me that I don't think if you're a jealous lover, you're gonna try to do everything you can to wipe out any type of memory from the previous lover, and I don't think Armand has the ability to do that with Louis. I think the presence of Lestat and what Lestat meant to Louis, it's just too much to wipe out, I guess, for Armand. I don't know if I answered your question. I think I just kind of just went off on tangent. What's your question?
That's fine. I don't even remember the question anymore. That's good. No, but this is, I mean, the show, there's so many moving parts to this show, and it's so easy to obviously like focus on one area and just kind of like expand on that. But coming back to, you know, once again, the modern day, you talking about Armand and whatever his abilities or influence he may have over Louis is very interesting, because when Amber and I did the review for season one of Interview with the Vampire, Amber had a very interesting theory that one of Armand's gifts, aside from not having to consume so much blood as much as younger vampires, is a gift of maybe something along the lines of memory altering. And I'm gonna kind of just leave that there. I'm gonna let that hang. I'm gonna let people like just think about that as I give an example. Because while Louis is reading through Claudia's diary, we see that there are pages that have been ripped out of that diary. For what reasons, we don't know as of yet. However, when Louis was reading the diary about the the table scene in the shelter with the Romanian woman that befriended them, Louis had asked the question about, you know, what is it in the woods that make people so frightened? And so her response was something, well, you know, could be German soldiers who don't know the war has ended. It could be wolves, could be this, or it could be basically something of the supernatural without saying those words. Now, the way that Claudia wrote the entry was that she was present to hear that and then walked away to go join the other kids to learn about whatever. But Louise stopped and said, no, that's not at all what happened. What happened was she had already left, Claudia had left the table, and then the Romanian woman came to answer the question about what lurks in the woods. And so at another point, when we see Louis with Armand, you know, they've got like this basic, it's basically like a fortress, their Dubai apartment, right? It locks them in, you know, because obviously vampires do need to sleep and they should not be exposed to any sunlight whatsoever. You know, they're in their bed and it's very like extravagant, what have you. But like, you can tell the body language between the two is not that of the same body language between Louis and Lestat, right? Louis and Armand are like a little bit more distant from each other. Armand seems to be more focused on like selling rare items. He's got a Francis Bacon that he's trying to sell. And Louis's like, I want to read the torn pages from the diary. And Armand is basically like, no, like, why? Like, why are you going to do this? You're going to fall into that journalist's trap, blah, blah, blah. He's gaslighting him, right? But Louis says, I'm not going to reveal whatever is written. He goes, I just need to know and I need to remember. Because going back to Louis talking with Daniel, Louis gets incredibly emotional about remembering, or what at least he thinks he remembers to be the truth of the event of that conversation at the table. I mean, it's so emotional, Frank. The tears, the voice change, and him thanking Daniel. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Thank you for allowing me to remember what was. And let me just tell you right here, right now, Jacob Anderson's performance, damn. God damn. If you didn't love him in Game of Thrones, you love him in this show. My God.
I'm not a vampire. I don't know anything about drinking blood and living in immortal life, but that got me emotional. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm like, but like, I try to put myself in Louis' shoes. Being immortal has to be a lonely life. It has to be. I don't see, like, your life has no end. Like, that doesn't seem fun to me. That just seems like when you harbor relationships and fall in love and like you see people die left and right. You see you go from one life, from a human life to a vampire life. So you leave everybody you ever knew from human life to this vampire life, which he grappled in season one with, like, his mother dying, his sister aging, and his not being able to hold his nieces and nephews, and like not being able to be around his family during the dates. I'm like, you saw him grappling with that, and then like now, with whatever happened to Claudia, the pain that you saw in his eyes, you didn't see him cry like that for Lestat. Like, whatever happened to Claudia was very tragic. Yes. It was basically Shakespearean, because 70 years later to still hold on to that pain tells me something happened tragically. And I won't be surprised if Jacob / Louis told Armand, whatever happened to Claudia, I want you to make me forget about it. I want you to glamour me, because I can't live with this pain. Okay. I would not be surprised if that came out later on in the season, that whenever they met and him and Armand fell in love and whatever, they had some pillow talk one night and said, you know what? This thing that happened with Claudia, I cannot bear to go another day remembering this. Please glamour me, alter my memories to where I don't remember her fate. And I think that's what's gonna happen. I don't know. I didn't read anything beyond book one.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's been 20 years since I read that book, but I think that's what happened. And I think those pages were being ripped out was like the final nail in the coffin of like, there's no way he can go back and like stumble across this and read it and remember what he what he went through. And I think him asking to remember again is him forgetting that he probably told mom in the first place, I don't want to remember this. That's my theory.
That's a very good theory. It's a very interesting theory. I'm still going to go back and try to support my theory of the memory altering to a point where it wasn't so much Louis asking Armand to help alter the memories, take away that pain, what have you. It's that Armand, and we're going to see how Armand meets Louis and Claudia during that time. It's Armand preying on the weak. And if he could sense that Louis was so weak and so easily, he could so easily be manipulated, he jumped on that. And that's why he's not willing to leave Louis when he's having these interviews with Daniel, because he doesn't want him to reveal too much. In the event that Louis comes back into his own self, in the event that Louis breaks through whatever memory altering spell, gift, whatever you want to call it, that Armand really isn't Louis's greatest love, right? Because how do you go from that when you had like this tumultuous relationship with Lestat? However, you know, toxic, of course it was. But for Louis and Lestat, that was real. Like that was a real love. Whatever love that Louis had for Claudia, that was real. I don't see it and I don't feel it with Armand. And like you, I haven't read the first book in probably since high school. So it's been some 15, almost 20 years. So it's interesting to see. So I'm curious, and hopefully the theory, either one of our theories, or there could be plenty others, will materialize and we'll get to see just the root of it, right? I just think it's so typical of like a lot of relationships to have that very abusive, but not in the physical sense, but it's that emotional abuse, right? And that I kind of see that more so between Armand and Louis versus just the overall abuse that was Lestat and Louis.
Is Armand a pedophile?
That's a great question.
Because like, for all intents and purposes, he's probably about 1,000 years old, if not older.
Yeah.
Like, he's been around. Like,
yeah.
What does this 100-year-old vampire, what do you see in this vampire? Mm. Like, it can't be pure love. Like, you've been around for eon, probably since Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Probably since, like, no, seriously, though. Like,
he's like, see, I am Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're probably Judas in the 12 disciples. You probably are like the OG vampire of this world. Mm. What in the fuck do you old ass see in Louis? I want to know. I can't wait to see how they met, and I can't wait to see what went around and what circled around them meeting and falling in love, or maybe the whole falling in love thing was glamour too. Or was him being, you know, coerced and under his spell? Because the age difference doesn't make sense to me. Like, you don't typically see that kind of age difference unless you're purposely trying to control a vampire.
Yeah. And I think there's usually something, at least from the vampire movies that I've watched, there's always that old ass vampire who looks to someone either to make into his bride or to pass on his powers because he's old as fuck and he just wants to like be done. You know, you mentioned that being an immortal is a very lonely life. And I probably at some point, you know, after your 1,000+ years of existence, you're just like, I'm done. Like, I've had enough. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Or it's, hey, I enjoy the game and I'm good at it. I want to keep fucking with people or vampires as long as I possibly can, you know, until time runs out. I don't know. I do know for sure that we're going to get an origin story in the sense of Louis and Armand, right? But there's also more to it because of the fact that for the longest, Armand did not want to be a part of this whole interview and everything that he is now volunteering. Daniel is like saying disregard, 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 because he was not on the record, right? And so now that Armand seems to want to join Louis and go on the record and share his story, Daniel's like, no. He's like, we'll get to you. I want to talk to Louis. And I think Daniel, in the same right, is looking to see how he can break somebody, just very likely like Armand. You know, Armand's probably looking to see how he can break people.
Playing dangerous game, cuz.
I know.
You trying to break a 1,000-year-old vampire? I don't know about
he might not go directly into Armand, who, yes, 1,000-year-old vampire who doesn't know. Sorry, I just had to kill a spider. Jesus, I think that was the spider that Marcy had over in her house, and I think it just came over here to me. My God.
You're in the family.
Oh, Jesus, no. I don't want this kind of family. So I think because Daniel blatantly said to real Rashid, which I just couldn't with that. That was so funny to me that finally we get the real Rashid, who is the servant to Louis and Armand. He outright says to real Rashid, hey, I'm going to break you. Like, I'm going to get answers out of you, because that's what he does. And he's damn good at it. And I'm like, oh, shit's going to get real. And there's a lot more to Daniel, I think, too, than what we've been offered at this point, because the way that season one finale happened, it was the meeting in San Francisco, right? When they met in the bar, you know, Armand and Louis. We don't know what happened after all of that. So there's more to Daniel's story than meets the eye.
Yeah, I don't. And I think another thing, too, and season one, his Louis recanting the story of like his upbringing in New Orleans and how he became, you know, the vampire Louis and his love for Lestat. You can tell that Armand didn't really butt in. I think he was fine with him recanting about his time in New Orleans and like how he met Lestat. He didn't start butting into the whole Claire thing. That's when he started Claudia. Coming around. I mean, sorry, I keep saying Claire. Claudia.
We're just going to change people's names. I know, her name's right? Not Claudia after all. It's like something else entirely, like real Rashid. And
yeah, right. But like but Armand like butting in season two, in the season one and going to season two shows me that whatever happened to Claudia, whatever happened to Claudia was something that he probably was a part of. Mm-hmm. And doesn't want it. Because in the movie version with Tom Cruise, like they punished Claudia. They murdered her. They put her. She made a vampire. And they put her in this like stone casket where the sun unveiled and they killed her. So I wouldn't be surprised if in this incarnation of this show that Armand has something to do with her murder as well, and he doesn't want Louis to remember, because that may break them up. That's what I think, because he had in season one he was totally chill. He was in the background. He kind of let Louis talk about everything that happened in New Orleans up to the point when he made Claudia. That's when things started. You saw seeing Armand a lot more often before he unveiled himself to be Armand by the finale. So I think he has something to do with her murder, and I think he's trying to like make sure that doesn't get out, and not only get out, but not make it into this book.
It's very likely. So with that, we come to the end of what we see for episode one of season two, where now another powerful performance from Jacob Anderson. You know, he, Louis and Claudia are on their way, leaving Romania because of the events that occurred there, and has a heart to heart with her, right? You know, she was so excited. She was on this quest to find vampires, others, you know, like herself. And she witnessed the death of old world vampire, right? And so he says hard words, right? I've got hard words and soft words for you. And I'm not going to, you know, say everything, but basically that she needs to stop feeling sorry for herself. She needs to, you know, basically get her head up out of her ass, and she needs to stop, you know, just being the way that she is. And that he's like, yeah, you know, our life is shit. Our life is shit is probably going to continue being shit, you know, and that's just something we have to deal with. He goes, but soft words. He goes, if you're the last, you know, if you're the last vampire, he goes, you are enough. He goes, it's me and you, you and me and you. I mean, he's driving that point home of you and me and you, until it clicks for her, until she's like, okay, right? It's just the two of them against the world. What did you make of that performance?
First of all, I'm still putting in my wedding vows. I wonder if I get married. I'm going to me and you, you and me. Like, when he repeated that twice, that shit, yeah, that shit was real. I'm like, damn. Yeah, mm-hmm. He ain't lying. Like, you, bitch, you are enough. All right, you mm-hmm. are the one. Like, it was so jaggery, man. Like, mm-hmm. like he, this is Louis coming clean and telling her, like, look, I'm not leaving you. You are enough. If you're the if you're the last, I mean, it was foolish because we know she's not the last of her kind, right? When we know that,
right.
The vampire's being made every day, just like in just in the shadows. But like,
yeah,
for him Twilight. To say that, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But like for him to say that was, I think she needed to hear that because she's felt neglected for so long by her maker. And I think, because let's be clear, like when you look at vampire movies and vampire shows, the maker and the mentee are like one, they're connected. Like no matter what, they're just connected. And like in this, with this relationship, the connection is like this. Sometimes like this, then like it goes back to this.
Yeah.
And then it's like it's
like a rubber band.
Yeah, it's like a rubber band or like two magnetic things are repelling from each other. Yes. And I think Claudia was losing faith in their connection as maker and mentee. And I think him saying that, you saw when he said the first time, she's kind of like, she has this blank expression like, yeah, motherfucker, I hear you, whatever. But then when he says it again and says, you are enough, and he's peering into her soulless eyes, you see her like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I needed to hear that. Like, I needed to hear you say that because for so long, for the last 5, 4, 7, whatever, however long it's been since Lestat's been killed, I haven't felt that from you. And for you to say that means the world to me. I thought it was powerful, man. It was so powerful. It was, I took that scene and I equated it to like a marriage that's on the rocks and the husband who's been mostly distant for a while.
Yeah.
He comes around and says,
he says the thing. He says the thing that's needed to be said for so long.
You are more than enough. I'm here. I've been fucking up. I'm going to do better. And he says it with such intent to where you haven't heard those words in so long, if ever, that it draws you back in. That's how I took that scene from Louis going to Claudia. So very powerful. I mean, Jacob Anderson dropped some bars in this episode for real.
Boy, did he. And to drive that point even further home, as he's saying the words to Claudia, we see Ghost Lestat return sitting right next to Claudia. And Louis kind of looks at him, makes eye contact, and looks back at her and says, okay, like, we're in agreeance. And cut away, there's no more Lestat. There's no more Ghost Lestat. So hopefully, for Louis' peace of mind, this is the last that he'll see of Lestat. Until they reach Paris, which is home to Lestat. I mean, you know, he's French. And they're like you mentioned earlier.
And this is what drives me nuts about this bad idea. Like, you don't think if he's alive, he's not gonna come back to Paris? Like he came to New Orleans to chill out for a little bit and he was bored. You don't think he's gonna go back home? Like he could come back home at any time. And y'all going there of all places?
Well, Louis and Claudia are going to embark on a Parisian troupe of vampires. You know, they're part of the Théâtre des Vampires, which is my poor attempt in French to say, you know, just that. But this nocturnal coven is led by a then 500-year-old Armand. So this, like I said, we're going to definitely get an origin story on Armand, the troupe. We also eventually are going to be introduced to the vampire Santiago, which is probably going to play a very key character. He will be a key character, I think, in this season. And all the happenings of being in Paris and seeing this troupe on the stage. And, oh, look, a portrait of Lestat, who apparently Claudia cannot recognize. Dude, really? Really?
She ain't the sharpest tool to say it.
I mean, you only tried to murder him. But maybe because that wasn't you, Claudia, it was the other form of Claudia. I don't know. Either way, that's just a theory. Yeah, she just totally had a memory wipe. She's like, oh, who's that? What? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. However, this does conclude the season 2 premiere wrap-up of Interview with a Vampire. Frank, I know we talked a lot, of course, in detail about this episode. Overall thoughts, and what are you looking forward to for the rest of the season?
Man, I'm looking forward to more mental breakdowns by Louis, man. Like, I feel like his best acting is when he's like defeated and pleading, and like one of my favorite scenes again in episode 1 when Lestat's about to turn him and he's in a church and he's like swearing Lestat away and he's crying profusely. I'm just kind of like,
the confession.
The confession was powerful.
That's when, man, I knew I was gonna love this show. That's when I knew.
That's how I was like, man, this motherfucker needs to win a Golden Globe or something. This is some A+ acting. But no, I think we're gonna dig deeper into the possibility of schizophrenia in the season. Because I mean, of course, this won't be the last that we've seen Lestat, and I think that's gonna come to a head. I think we're gonna see Louis go a little bit crazy. I think we're gonna see a lot of Claudia going reckless in Europe. And I think I think what they did is gonna come to light in Europe as well. So I'm very excited about this Europe trip that they're gonna go through and what comes out of this. I'm excited. I can't wait to see.
Do you think that from the trailer that we witnessed, the Lestat that takes the stage is Lestat from his time with the troupe, or Lestat has come back to Paris?
I think Lestat's hot in Paris right now.
Ooh.
And I think he's interesting. And I think he is. I think, and I don't know with vampires in this show, but like, I think, I think with vampires, when they make a vampire, I think they have the inside track of like knowing that vampire's every, not every move, but like knowing like
what. Oh no, he's got a tracking chip in him.
Yeah, I feel like the psychic connection they have. I think he's gonna like really know what Louis is gonna do, and I think he's gonna be there waiting for Louis. And I think he's going to unveil himself when he feels good and ready to. And I think Armand and Lestat are going to tag team into bringing down Claudia. I think so because in the movie version it was a crime, like a huge crime, to kill a vampire. And I think when that comes to light, I think Claudia is going to it's going to be her maker, no pun intended. So
I tend to believe that the Lestat that we will see on the stage is going to be flashbacks, right? Of storytelling of his time there from the perspective of the vampires in this troupe, and the explanation more or less as to why his portrait hangs in the theater. I do feel at some point we're going to have Louis begin to not know the difference between what is real and what isn't, if Lestat is actually there or not. I think the schizophrenia will definitely play a big part in this season. And if we do see Louis return to New Orleans after events of Paris, I think he's probably going to encounter Lestat in person. I just a guess. I've got no reason to support that reason. However, that's just kind of like a gut feeling that I have. But I do want to see more about Armand and like whatever hold he has on Louis. And of course, know the pages of what's happening in Claudia's diary and why those pages were torn out. And by whom? Were they torn out by Claudia? Were they torn out by Louis or someone else? What damning information was left on those pages. So there you have it, y'all. This is our review on Anne Rice's Interview with the Vampire season 2 premiere. And if you liked this pod, please be sure to give us a like here. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit that notification bell for the next time that we will go live, which actually at time of recording will be tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the penultimate episode of X-Men 97. Frank, I'm not ready for this. Like, I'm genuinely not ready for this season to be over. But it's just been hitting 100s like every single step of the way. It's crazy.
I'll tell you what, man. These Marvel movies got something to you better bring it, because X-Men was 10 out of 10 so far, 9 out of 9 so far. Listen. So, I mean, I know Deadpool was going to be a hit, but like any other Marvel shows that come out on Netflix or, I mean, I have Netflix, Disney Plus, whatever, yeah, better be good, because this motherfucker is setting the bar.
It is. It ultimately is. So you've got plenty of time to, of course, check up the rest of our reviews on X-Men 97 before tomorrow's penultimate episode review. So be sure to tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Time for that pod. And Frank, before I go, I just want to like throw something up here real quick on the screen for everyone who's watching on YouTube. I love these movie posters that are promoting season 2 of Interview with the Vampire. Did you get a chance to see these before today's pod?
I have not. This is my first time seeing these.
Isn't it incredible? They give me so much retro horror movie vibes, right? Like it gives me like old school Phantom of the Opera vibes. And I love the artistic direction that they took with these promo posters. What are your thoughts?
It gives me like Frankenstein type of vibes. It's very, very like very 50s, 40s silent films type of shit that I dig it. I love it. I love it.
It looks so good. It looks so good. I wish I could like translate all of these from French to English, but my lack of French is pretty bad. So that being said, I just wanted to throw that up on here for everyone to see. And also, if you haven't done so already, aside from subscribing to our YouTube channel, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads, all at Watchers Basement, and help spread the word about us by using the same hashtag, Watchers Basement. Send us your memes, send us your articles, send us things that you want us to check out. We'll be sure to add it to the ever-growing list. And lastly, you can check up our audio podcast available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Follow us there and give us a 5-star rating. So Frank, I'm looking forward to continuing these reviews of Interview with Vampire with you. And hopefully we'll be joined by others here from the Watchers in the Basement. Hopefully Tristan, hopefully Amber will be able to join us. I'm excited.
Let's get it, man. Team Jacob.
Team Jacob. Team Grey Worm. Yes, although, I don't know, Sam Reed plays a damn good Lestat. My goodness. And not to mention the fact that he's a big Anne Rice fan even before all this is a big plus. So I'm excited. We hope that the rest of y'all will join us for more Interview with the Vampire season 2 reviews. For Frank, for myself, I'm Brittany. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.